Hello, one and all, and welcome to the podcast we call The Fantastival with myself, Steve Nussbaum, in the podcast where I invite my guests to come on, talk to me all about their musical tastes, memories, experiences, and they get to collate their fantasy festivals, which I have christened Fantastivals. We are now on episode number 83, and before we get cracking with this one, I'd just like to say a massive thank you to Gillian Macca from the superb Distant Images, who are on in episode 82. They were fantastic. And the Fantastival podcast took a break last week. It was half term, so the plan was to always spend that week with my wife and my two girls having fun. Unfortunately, I got COVID, so it wasn't so fun. And I feel all right, but a bit tired. But yeah, the week off didn't cease to go how the week off should have gone. But let's not dwell on that. Let's dwell on the fantastic guest on the 83rd episode of the Fantastival podcast. And I am delighted this week to be joined by indie rock singer-songwriter. It's the brilliant Megan Wynn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. A bit tired, but I'm all right other than that. Megan, thank you for coming on the Fantastival podcast. A very exciting time for you that we're going to speak about. Lots going on, a new single just out, lots of gigs happening. Seems like there's lots of great stuff happening in your life. But before we talk about that, I always like to check in with my guest, Megan, and just see how they've been. It's been a tough 2 years now, almost at the back of it. So, Megan, how are you and how have you been?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm just been busy with the release and stuff and been touring a lot. So I'm a bit like, it's nice to have kind of a day off today where I'm just kind of doing like little bits and bobs and just chilling. But yeah, I'm really good, thanks. How are you?
I'm not bad. So I introduced you as a kind of indie rock singer-songwriter, but tell us a bit more kind of about yourself. So who is Megan Wynn? What does she like to do? Who is she? A bit more about the myth and the legend.
So I'm a singer-songwriter from Anglesey, North Wales, which is like a little island in North Wales. Not a lot of people know what it is, but yeah, that's what I'm from. I write kind of, some people say it's indie rock, others say it's folk, others say it's pop. I don't know, whatever floats your boat. I'm not bothered with it, but yeah, I kind of write a lot of love songs. That's pretty much the majority of things I write. Well, that's out anyway. But yeah, that's pretty much me. I've got two singles out, just released on literally 2 days ago, the 25th. Yeah, trying to think now. But yeah, that's pretty much me.
So how did you get into playing guitar? How did you get into that? Was it something that you were always drawn to, or was there a moment in your life that thought, I'm going to go and pick this up and learn it?
I didn't actually learn guitar until probably the start of lockdown.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's quite recent. I mean, I've always sung since I was a baby. Like, I'm opera trained. So, you know, singing's always been a big part of my life. But guitar music wasn't really, like, a lot of people didn't play guitar from where I'm from. So it was never kind of something I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to play guitar because everybody's playing guitar. It was more so, oh, people are in choirs and, you know, I want to do that. So it was, you know, kind of, but I've always kind of been into like rock music. My parents have always listened to rock music and all kinds of guitar music growing up. So I've always been around it and I've been going to gigs since I was six. So yeah, I've always been around it and stuff, but I don't know why I've not picked up a guitar till about 2 years ago. But yeah, I just fell in love with it straight away. And yeah, that's when I picked up a guitar.
And I've seen you've got a YouTube channel and lots of covers on there. So is that kind of how you started? Was it covers first and that's kind of led into you doing your own stuff?
Well, kind of. So I've always written my own stuff since I was like 10 years old, but it was mostly like Welsh stuff. I was in like Welsh bands and stuff. And then lockdown hit, so obviously I couldn't do anything with anybody else. So I was like, oh, I'm going to pick up a guitar and just start doing that. And then I started posting covers on, like, social media, and then I posted some on YouTube. And then the ones on social media did, like, really well. And then I was like, oh, I should probably, like, just keep on going, seeing as people, like it. So I was doing, like, a different cover every week. And then I had loads of like material written, so I was just like, oh, stuff it, I'm gonna go to the studio and record it, seeing as people like my covers and stuff. And then yeah, it did like pretty well, so that's pretty much how I started as a solo artist.
Great stuff, great stuff. Out of lockdown, quite a few artists have kind of found themselves and found a route. So it's not been all bad, and it sounds like you've kind of had like developed yourself through that, which is great. So
yeah,
we've mentioned singles. You've got a new one just out, but let's talk about the first one, Polaroids. Great track. How did that come about?
What is
that about, and how did you write that one?
So I wrote it. I'm not sure actually when I wrote it. I think it was in lockdown. It's like, I remember it being summer, because I remember it, like, everyone was wearing shorts outside, and I was inside because, for some reason, I just did not want to go outside in the heat. But anyway, it was summer, and I was, like, writing a piano ballad because, I don't know, I like writing all kinds of stuff. Like, I like to just let my creativity kind of flow. And then I was writing a piano ballad, and then I was like, how am I gonna play this live? Because I don't play, like, I can play piano, but I don't like to play piano like in front of people. It's a weird thing. Like, I won't play it in the studio and stuff. Like, my producer can do that. But yeah, so I was like, how am I gonna play this live? So then I was just like, oh, I'll play the chords on guitar. And then out came Polaroid. Like, I literally just pressed record and just sang whatever, and then I literally sang the first verse, like, exactly. So I was like, I'm gonna keep that in, that sounded all right. And then yeah, I just kind of, I had a vintage Polaroid camera sat on my desk that I bought from Facebook Marketplace, and it's one from like the 60s, I think. I've literally never used it, but, you know, inspired this song, so I guess it was worth a buy. And yeah, I was like, I have like a wall of Polaroids. It's in my old house, and I'd show you. And I was like, I need new Polaroids because I don't like half the people on the wall anymore. Like, I don't even speak to them. And yeah, it was kind of like I had some of, like, me and my ex-boyfriend. And it was kind of about that, like, kind of going through the transition in your life where you're, like, the people you're spending time with is, like, changed and all that kind of stuff. So I was thinking about, like, oh, I need to change the pictures on my wall now. And then, yeah, that's basically what the song's about. It's about me, like, changing as a person, and like my relationships changing and that. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Great. That's great.
That's what it came from.
Great backstory. And were you surprised with kind of like the reaction to it and how well it's done? Is that kind of taking you by surprise or?
Yeah, I was so shocked. Like, I literally like just recorded it and was like, I had no clue that with anything like at all that I had to like a press release or anything like that. I was like, I'm just going to share it on my social media and hopefully people like it. But yeah, it was so mad. Like, I remember sitting there on the release day and I literally cried so much because it, like, people were just sharing it and I was like, oh my god, like, people actually like it, what the hell. It's so weird. Like, I'm still like that now. Like, when people say they like my music, I'm like, oh my god, that's so weird. But, like, in the best way, like, I've always wanted that. So, you know, I'm so grateful. But, yeah, it was, like, so strange. I was not expecting, like, anything. And I got, like, I think it was, like, 2 weeks after I released Polaroid, I got an email saying that I've been shortlisted for the Isle of Wight Festival. And I was like, are you messing? Like, what is actually going on? I was so confused. But, yeah, I was just, like, not expecting it at all. It was so sick. Like, yeah, I'm so grateful for it. It was mad.
And then the Isle of Wight Festival, that happened, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it was the best weekend of my life. It was mad. Don't remember much of it, but yeah, it was a very, very good weekend. It was, I ended up playing 3 stages. I went down there only meant to be playing one under this feeling stage. And then Mikey, that owns this feeling, was like, I got there on the Thursday, I walked in the tent, and he was like, oh, you're playing again on Saturday, by the way, on the River stage, which was like the second biggest stage. And I was like, oh my god, all right, cool. And then he phoned me like Friday morning at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was still like in the campsite with all the bands. Like, we were literally like, we hadn't slept at all. And he phones me and he's like, oh, Megs, I'm really sorry, it's tonight. And I'm like, oh my god, I'm playing it tonight. So I had like this panic mode, and it was a longer set to the one I was doing on this feeling stage. So I was like, oh god, like, so I absolutely winged it because I didn't have time to do anything else. And yeah, it went great, and it was like my favorite gig I've ever done. And then I played a set for Gibson as well, which was mad. Like, I love Gibson guitars. So it was so sick to get to work with them and, you know, get to play their guitars before I was out and stuff. I was like, yes. But yeah, and now I can't stop thinking about the guitar, but I don't have $2,000 to just spend on a guitar. But yeah, it was so good. Like, it was the best weekend. And, you know, like Liam Gallagher and stuff were playing and Sam Fender and all the kind of amazing bands that I've loved for years. So it was sick.
That's brilliant. Sounds like an absolutely great experience. So Polaroid has done fantastically well. So let's talk about Better Thank of you. You. So this obviously goes out on a Sunday morning. Spoiler alert, we're recording this before the single has come out. So let's talk about Better of You. I haven't actually heard it yet, but I'm looking immensely forward to listening to it. So tell us a bit about that track, Megan. How did that come about? And is that similar to Polaroid or is it a different sound? What have you gone for with this one?
It's quite a similar sound. It was like the reason I took so long to release a song is because I didn't feel like any of the songs I'd written was like the follow-up to Polaroid because it was such a distinct sound that I kind of needed to create something that was kind of similar, but not too similar that, you know, everyone was like, oh, she can't do anything else. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, and then I wrote this song in November. So it's literally like a very recent song. And yeah, I was just like, that's the one, that is it. And then I sent it to my team and they were like, yeah, that's the one. And I was literally in the studio like 2 weeks later. So I'm glad that came about. But yeah, I literally sat here. So, and then yeah, it's a song about being like in love with someone that's kind of like really toxic, but like, you know, they're toxic for you, but you kind of like it. Do you know what I mean? Like when you're in that situation, you're like, oh, they're a bit of a knob, but like, it's kind of fun as well. Do you know what I mean? It's probably only me that's like that. But yeah, I just thought like I was kind of going through that thing at the time. And I was like, oh, I'm going to write about it because I think it was a way of me to come to terms with like what was actually going on as well. And yeah, a lot of my friends have gone through that as well. So I was like, oh, it must be like a relatable topic. And so I wrote about it. And yeah, it's like about that. But it's also about like the element of like self-doubt and stuff that comes with that, because like you get so like in your head about it. But it was actually like the way that films portray this kind of relationship that actually pissed me off, which is why I like started to realise these kind of things and wrote about it. It was because like films were pissing me off essentially. So yeah, that's basically what it's about. And then I took it to the studio and then it came to life with my producer and like the guys I play with, like when I take them to the studio and stuff, they're amazing. And yeah, it kind of came to life and I was like, wow. And now it's out. So weird.
Yeah, I'm sure it's gonna get a fantastic reception and go down just as well.
Thank you.
Polaroid. So in Polaroid, I hear lots of different things, lots of different influences. I hear a bit of Fleetwood Mac, I hear a bit of Texas, I hear lots of different things going on within that. So Megan, who are your influences? Who do you take your influences from?
Definitely Fleetwood Mac. I mean, Stevie Nicks is like my biggest inspiration since I was a kid. I've always loved her. Like, I've got a few bands I've loved since I was like fresh out of the womb. And like Fleetwood Mac have been, that was not a nice saying. And yeah, Fleetwood Mac have been one of them. So definitely, like, I don't ever like sit there and go, oh, I want to write like a Fleetwood Mac-y tune. I think it's just like subconsciously, like it just comes out because that's what I've always listened to. I love Courtney Barnett recently, actually. Barnett. Yeah. I'm not sure how you say her name. She's Australian. She's literally amazing. Better Review is very inspired by her. Katie J. Pearson as well. I love her. She's really good. She's kind of up and coming. I mean, she's like breaking through at the moment. She's really, really good. I'm trying to think. I've been loving the Mysteries at the moment as well. I've been writing a lot of like Mysteries-esque tunes. I mean, they're not as heavy as their tunes, but they're really, really good. I literally love them. And then, yeah, I love Rolling Stones as well. I've always been a massive Stones fan since I was a baby, so I guess Rolling Stones as well.
So lots of older influences, but new acts as well. So a nice little mixture of what's happened and what's currently going on. So I saw last week, Megan, you had a gig, and it seems like you've done quite a few gigs and got quite a lot coming up, so quite a good time for gigs.
Yeah, oh, it's literally mad. Like, I've got 2 sold-out shows this weekend, which is just nuts. Like, I can't believe, like, I've gone from, like, selling to six people to like sold out shows now. It's so weird, but yeah, it's great. I'm so excited. I just played in Manchester last weekend, which was just like one of my favorite gigs ever. I couldn't hear anything on stage, but the crowd was like amazing. And yeah, it was so weird. It was like one of the first times that nearly every single person in the crowd like was singing along to Polaroid, which is the weirdest thing ever. Like I kind of get that sometimes, like Cardiff, every time I play Cardiff, like they all know the words to Polaroid, which is like the weirdest thing ever. And I, every time I play it, I'm like, oh my god, people know this, like it's so mad. And like when my mum's at the shows and stuff, which is pretty much all the time because she drives me everywhere, like I can just see her like looking around, like looking at me like, what? And she's just as like confused as me, and it's so funny. But it's like, it's the best feeling ever. And then I've got Liverpool this weekend in EBGBs, which is sold out. That's with the Kairos. And then I've got a Wrexham gig, which I've never played Wrexham before. So I'm really excited for that. And it's in Wales. So yeah, I'm excited. And then I've got like a massive string then of gigs. I've got like supporting John Power, The Claws, Skinner Brothers, and then a lot of festivals, which I don't even know where I'm playing. Well, I do know, but like I don't know what's announced yet. So I don't know what I'm allowed to say. I know Rewired's announced, and I know Stockton Calling is being announced this week, so I don't think I'll get screamed at for saying that. So it'll be out sometimes on my social this week anyway.
Great stuff.
But yeah, I've got a lot of festivals then in summer as well, so I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, really exciting time. Really exciting time. So let's give your social media a push then. Where can people find you, Megan? I know you're on all of them, but how do people find you and what are your handles?
Right, so this is the confusing part. I've got two Instagrams. One of them was actually my personal one, but everyone seems to be following that one instead of my music one. But yeah, so my Instagrams are, one of them's just at Megan Wynn, and then the other one's at Megan Wynn Music. You can follow me on either. I'm not bothered. I tend to post the same things now because different people follow me on each one, so I'm like, ah, more engagement. But yeah, and then my Twitter is Megan Wynn. TikTok is Megan Wynn Music, but I mainly just post like drunk videos of me and my friends on that. It's not really music content. But if you want personality, follow my TikTok. And then my Facebook is at Megan Wynn Music.
Great stuff.
I think that's all of them.
And then if people want to listen to anything by you, you could be found on Spotify, Apple Music, and anywhere people go for music, you'll be there, right?
Yeah. Exactly. All the good places.
So we spoke about your influences, Megan. I mean, without giving away too many spoilers about your fantasy festival, I mean, you've mentioned Fleetwood Mac, you've mentioned rock. Is that kind of your main genre of music that you're into, or have you got other kind of areas that you like as well?
Yeah, I mean, rock has always been like my favourite genre, but I can't talk. I'm actually like a massive dance music lover. Like, I love techno.
Wow.
Techno and house music is like, I love it, like just as much as rock, to be fair. Like I've always said, like my dream collaboration is Camel Fat. Like I'd absolutely love to write a song with them, like be in one of their songs. Like that would be mad to me. And yeah, I love house music. I love country. I actually love pop as well, but like I never really tend to listen to pop, like, but I love it when it's on. I love a lot of like 90s pop and stuff, like Spice Girls. Joking.
Megan, there's no guilty pleasures on this podcast. There's only pleasures on this podcast.
But yeah, like I like everything, to be fair. I don't think there's one genre where I'm like, absolutely not, like I will not listen to it. I mean, I won't really listen to heavy metal, but I appreciate it as a genre. Like if it's on, I won't be like, turn that shite off. I like everything, but yeah, indie rock's like my main thing. And I think that will never change. It's been like that since I was a baby, so I don't think that's getting out of that anytime soon. And I'm not angry about that either. So, yeah.
Is there anything that you're currently listening to that's on your earphones, whether that's a new artist or an older artist? What's rocking your boat at the moment?
Actually, recently this week, I was playing in Manchester on Saturday night, and then my set finished at 9:30, I think it was. And then a band called The Shakes, who are amazing. We're in a group chat together for like a This Feeling band group chat. We're from festivals and stuff. And yeah, they were like, oh, we're playing in Manchester, like, if anyone wants to come. And I was like, oh, I'll come, because like you finish up 10:15, so I'll still get to see like a lot of your sets. So it was only around the corner, so I went to that. I had no idea like any of their songs. I knew one of them, to be fair, but like not through and through. And yeah. Wow, they were like amazing. I was stood there throughout the whole show like, whoa, this is mad. Like he was fully dancing on stage and like jumping off the drum kit. I was like, wow, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So I've been really into the Shakes this week. I really like them. And then Wolf Alice is like, that's actually one of my biggest inspirations. I don't know why I didn't say that earlier. Wolf Alice, I absolutely love that band with every bone in my body. I don't think there's an inch of me that doesn't like Wolf Alice. I went to see them the other night in Liverpool. And I literally cried my eyes out. Like, I'm not really an emotional person, but music just, I always cry when it comes to music. But I've not cried at a show since like the One Direction days. And so it was a very weird thing. I had like two streaks where my makeup just rolled off. But yeah, they were amazing. So yeah, them, and then the Mysterines as well. I love the Mysterines. They're really good.
Some great acts mentioned there. And let me take you back, Megan. Let me take you back to when you was a wee nipper and it's time to, maybe it was a download or buy your first like single or album. Do you remember that and what that was?
I don't remember what I first bought, but I remember my dad buying me like all the Nirvana CDs when I was a kid. I love Nirvana. They're one of my favorite bands ever, and they're one of my dad's favorite bands as well. And that was like the first band that I really, really got into as a kid. So yeah, it must have been Nevermind, but then I must have gotten really into Nevermind, and then my dad must have bought like all the other ones. But this was when I was like 2 or 3 years old, so you know, wow. I didn't have like my own money. But yeah, I love Nirvana, always have, and I'm assuming it was a Nirvana album. But also I remember having, do you know, Playing My Tees, that like the band, I mean, yeah. I'm not sure they're together anymore, but my favorite song when I was a kid was Hey There Delilah. I loved it. My dad's in the army, so I always thought about like when he went away, I was like, oh, the lyrics, like, because he was talking about like somebody he missed, and I was like, oh, that's like me and my dad. But it's a bit weird because it's a love song, and yeah. I didn't realize that till I was a lot older. So I was like, but yeah. I remember having that as a CD as well, but that was just like the single. But like the first album I bought myself must have been like One Direction or Taylor Swift or somebody like that, which is not that cool. But I mean, Taylor Swift is mint. So One Direction, yeah. What am I on about? But yeah, it must have been one of them. Like, I wish I was one of those people that was like, oh yeah, I bought like a Bruce Springsteen album when I was 6. Because yeah. I was not that kid. I was very much into my boy bands, Jay Lass and all that. But yeah, I'm assuming it was like somebody like that. I mean, I don't really remember, but I remember downloading an All Time Low album when I was about 9. I vividly remember doing that because my brother actually he worked in a corner shop at home. And for some reason they were passing over to go to Dublin and they were getting the ferry from Anglesey. And for some reason, they decided to stop at this corner shop. And my brother met them. And I was, like, the biggest fan of All Time Low at the time. And, like, my brother just didn't know who they were. And I was, like, listening to them. And I was, like, had, like, their music videos on the telly. And my brother was like, I met him today. And I was like, what are you on about? I've been so annoyed in my life. But, yeah, it was probably an All Time Low album I downloaded first. That was such, like, a long-winded answer. I'm sorry.
Podcasts and long-winded answers go hand in hand. So that's not a problem. That's not a problem at all. So this podcast is all about you collating your fantasy festival. You told a great story before about the Isle of Wight, and it looks like you've got loads going on this summer. But are you a big fan of festivals?
Oh, I love them, honestly. I honestly live for festival season. Like, it is my only personality trait. I would go to a festival over, like, holiday or anything any day of the week. Like, it is my favourite time of year. And now that I'm playing them, it's mad. Like, I love it. Like, I get to go to these things for free now. I'm, like, get it. But, yeah, I'm such a big fan of festivals. I always have been. I've been going to festivals since I was a kid. And, yeah, I love them.
What about gigs? You mentioned Wolf Alice. Do you have, like, a favourite gig yet? Have you got one?
Oh, that's a really hard question because I've been going to gigs since I was 6. So, oh, that's so hard. But One that I actually really love that I went to recently, it was in December. I went to Sam Fender in Brudenell Social Club, which is like a really intimate venue. And it was a Scots menswear event. And it was the like the best gig I've ever been to. I mean, that's a lie. I've been to so many amazing gigs. But it was like one that's, oh, that will always have a special place in my heart. It's like a 300 capacity venue. I'm actually playing there in April, so it's so weird. Like, I literally saw Sam Fender there a few months ago. Wow. But yeah, it was like the maddest thing. And I think he was just like, so like, you could tell he was like not used to playing to that like many people, because it was like so intimate. It was like almost like it was like it was really special to him. Like, you could hear him like speaking to the other bands, even if you're like in the back of the room, like without like him speaking into a microphone. It was like, that's how intimate the thing was. It was so mad. But yeah, it was the coolest gig ever, and like all my friends were there, so it was just the best gig ever. And I don't think anything will ever top that gig.
Until you play there in April.
Exactly.
So like I said at the top of the podcast, it's all about Megan getting to collate her fantasy festival. So she gets to choose any five acts, one of whom must play one of their albums in full, and an encore to end her fantasy festival, which all her five acts will perform together at the end. So very simple, five acts, take five time slots. So I mentioned Gillian Macca at the top of the podcast from Distant Images. They collated their Here We Rockin' Co Fantasy Festival. They had Blood Red Shoes in their opening act slot. They were followed by Robert Plant and Adam Krauss in their super second slot. Bat for Lashes made up their Midway Madness slot. They were followed by Nirvana in their pre-headline slot. And then they had Pink Floyd headline in their Fantasy Festival, playing their album Dark Side of the Moon. And for their encore, Gillian Macca had all those five acts play Hounds of Love by Kate Bush. So very simple. It's a very simple process.
Wow.
Yeah, great.
Mine's
time.
Mine's not that cool.
That's a thing. Well, it might be. Let's. Yeah, you never know until you get there. But I guess before we talk about your lineup, Megan, we need to give your fantasy festival a name and need to give it a destination. So, what are you going to call your fantasy festival?
Oh my god, I've not even thought about that. M-Fest, because Megan it. That's just because I can't think of anything else, and I'm terrible at coming up with names. Like, that is my downfall, I think, with music. Like, I never know what to name my songs, so I just they're just song number five in the set. And then when someone asks for my set list, and I'm like, yeah, there you go. It's literally all numbers, but there you go. Oh, yeah, it's called M-Fest. We're going to go with that.
Yeah, M-Fest.
It's not a very cool name.
M-Fest is all good, and you can hold it anywhere you like. So you can take us back to Anglesey. If I've said that right, you could take us back to Wales. Yeah. We can go to Liverpool. We can go to Manchester. You can take us across the pond. However big, however small, you can hold this wherever you want to hold this. Any place where you want to go with this one?
Do you know what? There's actually these bands. God, I'm baiting Anglesey out here. Like, there's these bands in the middle of Anglesey where people do like illegal raves. So I'd take it there because it's like the coolest place ever. Like, it's in the middle of a field, and I think that would be so cool. Like, just this massive festival and like these bands with loads of like cows. It's the weirdest thing. But yeah, I'd take it back to Anglesey, I think, by the coast and stuff, by the beach, and yeah, rip off Boardmasters.
But we're doing,
yeah,
it,
it's Anglesey, so it's better, obviously. But yeah, I'd take it back home, I think, because it'll also be a lot easier and a lot cheaper for me to get home if I'm too drunk.
Good plan.
Because I could just get family to come pick me up and then stay there.
Great plan. So I'm going to Anglesey for this one. We've got M-Fest. I guess before we talk about your five acts, you've already spoken about quite a lot of acts already, which is great. Are there any acts who haven't made it into your five who you love and just want to give a shout out to before you talk about your fantasy festival lineup?
Oh my God, there's like a never-ending pile of bands that I love. There's just so many good up-and-coming bands now, like, that I just could give, like, the whole lineup to that I love. Like, Skinner Brothers, literally amazing. And they just released an album last week, and it's, like, insane, such an amazing album. And I can't wait to gig with them and just sing all the words to the songs and look like a massive band. Oh, there's so many good bands. Like, I mean, yeah, Nirvana didn't make it because I just didn't think about Nirvana. That's bad, considering they're one of my favourite bands, but I don't think they'd fit the lineup, to be fair. I mean, yeah, you'll understand what I mean in a minute. Like, it just wouldn't make sense, but...
All right.
Sorry.
All right, so Nirvana and the Boys Don't Make It Again. I listened to that Skinner Brothers album because that seemed to be all over my social media. I enjoyed it. That was a good album, actually. Yeah. They're a good band.
Yeah, they're amazing live. I literally, on the Friday, I think it was the Friday anyway, in Isle of Wight, it must have been because I was playing the River Stage, and I was on at 6 o'clock to like 20 to 7-ish, and they were on at 6:45, so I literally ran from stage. I literally packed up all my stuff, like, from the dressing room, because I had my own dressing room. That was so weird. Wow. Anyway, and then, yeah, literally, like, liked it in heels to the other side of the festival, because I was wearing, like, heels on stage, like, heeled boots. And, oh, my God, I've never ran in heels before, but it was so worth it, because I didn't miss that set. But, yeah, they're amazing, and that album is 10 out of 10 for me. Like, they're such nice lads as well. Like, I think that goes a long way with being a musician. Like, they're just so down to earth, and they have time to speak to literally everyone, even though they've done, like, these massive gigs. Like, they just toured with Kasabian and all that, and they're just, like, the nicest people ever. Yeah. So, yeah, big up Skinner Brothers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, let's crack on with your lineup then. It's 2 o'clock, M-Fest sold out, Anglesey, the barns are buzzing, the cows are on the other side of the field. It's a lovely day. Everyone's got a beer in their hand. So, Megan, who would you have to open up M-Fest?
Right, so it would have to be the Mysterines for me, because they're insane. I've not seen them live yet, and I've only recently gotten into them, to be fair, but they're literally, like, if you go on my On Repeat playlist on Spotify, it's all the Mysterines. Yeah. Like, so it would make sense for the Mysterines to be on there. And they're playing Stockton Calling as well, and I'm playing Stockton Calling, so I'm really excited to see them. But yeah, it would be the Mysterines, and also, like, female rock music, which is the coolest thing ever. Yeah, and Leah's great. Like, she's an amazing songwriter, and they seem to be an amazing live band, so I'm really excited to see them at M-Fest.
Brilliant. So the Mysterines make your opening act. Not a band who I've heard of, but I'm looking forward to checking them out, actually. You made them sound...
They're really good.
Sound really good.
Yeah.
So Mysterines.
Yeah, they're from Liverpool. Yeah, they're from Liverpool. Well, I think they're from Wirral, actually. But yeah, they're a Scouse band. They're amazing. That's all there is to say about them, to be fair. They're just 10 out of 10.
You can never go wrong with a Scouse band. So all good. All good. So the Mysterines open M-Fest. They're going to play your fantasy festival from 2 till 3 o'clock. We'll take a half hour break and that'll take us to 3:30. There'll be time for your Super Seconds act. So Megan, who's going to play after the Mysterines in your Super Seconds act?
So surprisingly, it's going to be Wolf Alice. I mean, everyone's going to be so shocked at this lineup, because it's just, you know, you'd never think that I like Wolf Alice. God, I'm joking. My whole Twitter feed is just Wolf Alice, and then occasionally my music. But yeah, I'd have Wolf Alice. And I'm kind of cheating a bit, because I just thought about this, and I would love for them to play, like, the full Blue Weekend album, because that's just, like, my favourite album at the moment. I love it. And yeah, it's like there's no bad song on that album, so I'd get them to play a full album.
Great shout.
And yeah, it would be amazing.
So Wolf Alice, they make their second Fantastival appearance. I think they were selected many moons ago by Dave Victor. So Dave's son is in a band called Gengar, who have played with Wolf Alice. So he had Wolf Alice and Gengar play together.
Oh, yeah, I know who they are. Yeah. Oh, they're sick.
Yeah, yeah.
So, oh, that's class.
So Wolf Alice, not their first time being picked. They come back to the Fantastival lineup and they'll play M-Fest.
As they should.
Yeah, Blue Weekend in full at M-Fest, not one to be missed. So we've got two acts down, we've got three left to go. So we'll take another half-hour break. That'll take us to 5 o'clock, and it'll be time for your Midway Madness slot. So, Megan, who are you going to have in your Midway Madness slot?
So it's going to be Royal Blood, because I'm a massive Royal Blood fan, and I met them when I was playing Tramlines. I was in a vintage shop, and my guitarist at the time was like, oh, Meg, like, Royal Blood. And I was like, what are you on about? I was like, I thought they were playing on in the shop or something. And I was like, they're not playing. What are you on about? And then he goes, nah, he's there. And I turned around and Ben, the drummer, was just stood there. And I've never been so starstruck in my life. I think it was because I was not expecting to see him there. And I was just like rummaging through like old like 70s clothes. It was the coolest vintage shop as well. And I just turned around and he was there. And I was like, oh my God, this is mad. And he was just the nicest guy ever. So is not only an amazing drummer from an amazing band, but he's also a nice guy. So definitely there on my lineup. But I'd also love for them to play a full.
They can play your fantasy festival, Megan. If you want bands to play four albums, they're going to do it. They're going to go, yes.
Right. So they're going to play their second album in full, because that's my favourite album by them. But I love, like, all, they don't have a bad song either. Like, all their music is just amazing. I'm seeing them in April and I'm going by myself because all my friends missed out on tickets. So I'm going to be like a loner in the crowd, but you know what? I'm still going and I'm going to. I love it. It's going to be amazing. And I'm so excited to see them because I've still not seen them. And I've loved them since I was like 10. So I don't know how I've not seen them, but it would like not be my dream festival without Royal Blood on there. So definitely Royal Blood.
Great shout. First time Royal Blood have ever been selected for a fantasy festival.
Really?
83 episodes down. Royal Blood make their fantastical debut.
Wow. Everyone's missing out. Like, they're just amazing.
So Royal Blood, they're going to play their second album in full. They're going to play from 5 till 6 in your Midway Madness slot. So 3 acts down, we've got 2 left to go. So next up is your pre-headline slot. The act are going to get an hour and a half. They're going to play from 6:30 till 8 o'clock. So Megan, who's going to have pre-headline M-Fest?
So it's going to be no other than the Rolling Stones, because I'm such a big Stones fan and I'm absolutely in love with Mick Jagger and have been since I was a baby. Well, young Mick Jagger, not so much now because like he looks like a granddad now, but like a cool granddad, you know what I mean? Yes. So yeah, it would be Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones because that would just be the coolest thing ever. And I've never seen them before and I'm so gutted, but I really want to see them. So they would have to be on my festival. Do you know what? The Shakes actually remind me of Rolling Stones a bit, like the lead singer, like he dances a bit like Mick Jagger. So I'm going to say that I've seen the Rolling Stones because I've seen the Shakes.
And the Stones have obviously got so much material and they've only got an hour and a half to fit in. Are there any songs that they have to play that when you sign them up to M-Fest, you put it in the contract and go, Mick, Keith, you play these songs or you're not coming in?
They absolutely have to play Moonlight Mile. Like, there's no negotiating it. It's either that or you're not playing. Like, they have to play it. Yeah, that's it, really. Like, that's the only song that I'm like, they have to play that song or I'll cry. I'll cry anyway because I always cry at gigs, but yeah, it will not be happy tears if they don't play that song. So it's going to have to be Moonlight Mile. And it's actually, like, one of the songs that actually got me into, like, properly into Stones as well. Like, my dad and, like, my mum and stuff was always played them. But that was the song, like, when I heard that song, I was like, ooh, that is a tune. And then I've just not looked back since then, and I love it. So
great stuff. They're going to play it. It's in the contract. They've signed up. They're playing Moonlight Mile, and they're playing M-Fest. So Rolling Stones, only their third fantasy festival, so a third appearance on the Fantastival podcast for the Rolling Stones. So they're going to play from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. We'll take one more break and it'll be time for your headline act. So we're going to get 2.5 hours to play. They're going to play from 8:30 to 11. Now, I think we've never spoken before this, but I reckon I know who you're going to pick, but I'm not going to reveal it. So Megan, M-Fest headliners, who's headlining it?
Wow, I wonder who. So it's obviously going to be Fleetwood Mac. I mean, everyone knows that. Like, I feel like everyone just knows now when they ask me, oh, who's like your biggest inspiration? I'm like, oh, like you already know this, but you just want to hear me say it. but yeah, I mean, no one else would be headlining my dream festival except for Fleetwood Mac. So yeah, I'd also want them to play. Like, they have to play You Make Love and Fun. That is in the contract. Because, do you know what's annoying, actually, is, like, literally every single one of my family members have seen Fleetwood Mac except me, which is extremely unfair. Like, what's more unfair, though, is, like, my grandparents went to see them a few years back and they didn't take me, which I'm heartbroken about. But it's fine. I will see them one day. But, yeah, I'd absolutely love Fleetwood Mac to play, and I think I will die happy the day that I get to see Fleetwood Mac live. It would be the best day of my life, even if they're shit live, which they won't be, but still, just to see them all together on stage, I'd be, wow, that would be the dream. So definitely Fleetwood Mac.
Great shout. That would be a great set. That would be a great set. So Fleetwood Mac, only their third Fantasy Festival appearance as well. So they headline Emfest. They're going to play for 2.5 hours. Then at 11 o'clock, they're going to bring out the Rolling Stones, Royal Blood, Wolf Alice and the Mysterines. And they'll get to play one song together to close your Fantasy Festival, Megan. What song are you going to have them all play?
See, Rolling Stones weren't originally in that, so it would kind of be contradicting what I was going to say, because I was going to say them all to play Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, but that's kind of a bit controversial now that Stones are in there. But then again, that would be so sick. Like,
I think keep it in
do
there.
You know what?
I think that's all right. Yeah. Unless you want to change it, you can change it if you want to.
I mean, I don't think Mick Jagger would appreciate that, but. Do you know what? I think it would sound really sick if they all played, like, The Chain, Fleetwood Mac. But, like, everybody just come on when, like, when Fleetwood Mac play that song and everybody just join in.
I like it.
Yeah, stick, like, a choir on there as well, just to make it sound, like, all harmonies and everything. Oh, that would sound so sick, actually. It's just Mick Jagger, like, in the bass solo, just, like, get out the moves. That would be so sick. Yeah, so I'm going to go with The Chain. And then if Rolling Stones weren't on there, it would be Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Great shout. So let's lock in your Fantasy Festival. So we've got Emfest. It's taking place in the Anglesey Barns. We've got the Mysterines in your opening act. They're going to be followed by Wolf Alice in your Super Seconds act, who are going to play Blue Weekend. Midway Madness slot, we've got Royal Blood, who are going to play their second album in full as well. Pre-headline slot, we've got Rolling Stones. Headlining Emfest, we've got Fleetwood Mac. And for your encore, they're all going to play The Chain together. Sounds pretty good.
Yes, yes. That sounds like my dream festival. I mean, it is, because I'm
well, it is, yeah.
But yeah. Oh my God, that needs to happen. I'm going to start a petition now. Just like, I mean, I can't pay you all because I don't have like millions in my bank. But we'll do it for charity. No, that would be so sick. Imagine that. God.
So Emfest is done. Emfest is done. It's in the vaults. So before we wrap up then, Megan, we've got obviously Better Reviews just come out. I'm sure it's smashing it up and doing really well. What do the next few months look like? You've mentioned lots of gigs coming up, more releases. I mean, what does 2022 look like, I guess, for you? And what are you hoping for in 2022?
So I'm just hoping like to gig as much as I can. I mean, I kind of jinxed myself with that because I'm getting, like, I have to watch that. I don't double book myself now because I'm just so busy in March that I get offers and I'm like, have I got a gig that day? Or I'm like, the other side of the country and there's no way I can get there. But yeah, just like loads of gigs and yeah, a lot of new music. It's just like finding time to get to the studio and stuff. And yeah, I'm hoping to get another 2 singles out after Better Review as well. So that'll be hopefully one in summer and then one in October, I'm hoping. So yeah, I'm excited for a busy year and a lot of new music and all that kind of fun stuff and festival season. And yeah, I'm excited to see like all the other bands do amazing as well. So it'll be great.
Great stuff. So let's give another shout out in to your social channel. So if anyone's listening and wants to find you, let's give another shout out. So Megan, how people find you?
So Instagrams are at Megan Wynn and at Megan Wynn Music. Twitter is at Megan Wynn. TikTok is at Megan Wynn Music and Facebook is also at Megan Wynn Music.
Brilliant. And like I said, she's on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music. Go and listen to Polaroid. Go and listen to Better Review. Some great tracks. Megan, a massive thank you for you to coming on to the Fantastival.
Thanks for having me.
Podcast. So that is it. Thank you for listening to the 83rd episode of the Fantastival podcast. And if you've enjoyed this one, please subscribe and give the Fantastival podcast a review on iTunes or give us a follow on Spotify or Anchor. And you can also rate the show now on Spotify. Megan's on social media, so are we. We are on Twitter. So if you don't follow us, give us a follow at FantastivalP. And you can also email the podcast at fantastivalpodcast@outlook.com. Unfortunately, can't play music on podcast, but I'll get some tracks from Megan. We'll put all our artists into a Spotify playlist and get some good recommendations out from there. So Megan, been a great guest. I mean, how have you found collating your Fantasy Festival? You've mentioned some great acts. It sounds like it was a bit of a tough one to choose from, but a great lineup nonetheless.
Oh, it was so hard to choose. I'm such an indecisive person anyway. So when I realised that I had to choose just 5, I was like, wow, oh my God, that's so hard. I think I'd struggle with like a 3-day festival or a 4-day festival. So 5 was really, really hard. but I think it's a banging lineup, if I do say so myself.
You've done very well. Like I said, a massive 2022 awaits you. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Thank
I look
you.
Forward to hearing more of your music and seeing more live clips from all the gigs and festivals that you're doing.
Well, thank you.
So I'll be back soon with episode number 84, so please make sure to join me. But until then, stay safe, my fantastical friends, and please continue to spread the word. And that word is fantastical. Thanks for listening.